The RBA kept rates on hold yesterday, but the tone seemed a little more hawkish and there was mention of a rate rise being a possibility. Now, NAB is still expecting the first move to be a cut, probably in November, but could a rise be possible, or is the sluggishness in the economy making that seem less likely, like the downward revision to retail numbers yesterday, for example? Retail sales rose in the euro area, though, but the Riksbank, could they be ready to cut rates? We don't have to wait too long to find out. It's Wednesday, it's the 8th of May 2024. It's the morning call from NAB. Good morning. So a third of 1% rise in the US dollar on the DXY index, a 0.4% fall in the Aussie dollar, falling below 66 US cents. The Japanese yen, 0.5% weaker today as well. Bond yields are generally down, 3 basis points off 10-year treasuries, down 5 for 10-year bunds in Germany. 10-year gilts in the UK down 10 basis points, but a bit of that is catching up from Monday, perhaps, which was a public holiday. And Aussie 10 years were down 7 basis points yesterday to 4.3%, down a few more from that on futures overnight. And US equities underwhelming. The Nasdaq at close is in the red by 0.1%. The Dow only just in the green, and a 0.1% rise in the S&P. It got back over 5,200 in this session but couldn't hang on to it. And not much movement in oil. WTI and Brent both marginally down. Of course, the hopes of a ceasefire seem to be on hold, with Iraq taking control of the Palestinian side of the Rafah border crossing. We're told that ceasefire talks are continuing, but it's not having much impact on oil right now. But I am curious about the direction of Australian government bonds after the RBA yesterday. So let's talk about that first off with NAB Sky Masters. So rates were on hold. No surprise there from the RBA, but they said that inflation is taking longer to ease than had previously been expected. And the news that rate rises were discussed at the meeting. And Michelle Bullock said, we might have to raise, we might not. That's saying nothing at all. But it is very different language to where we were a few months ago. And yet bond yields are lower. I mean, you would have thought a more hawkish RBA would see rates rising a bit. But I guess we were expecting a more hawkish RBA. So it's all been priced in.
Yeah, morning, Phil. I think the market was pretty well priced for a hawkish RBA. So, you know, a bit of a relief rally, similar to what you saw post the FOMC meeting, really. If I look at where yields are currently tracking relative to recent highs, you know, we're across the board, 3 year, 10 years, we're down about 20 basis points from the highs that we saw earlier last week. And, I think why is that? Well, central banks, while they're cautious they're not ruling out the need to tighten policy further if the data challenges their forecasts, their preference is to be on hold and deliver rate cuts later. So, cautious central banks. In terms of the RBA yesterday, the interesting thing was, as you said, she did, Bullock in the conference did say that the board did discuss possibly tightening rates, but they also discussed keeping rates on hold, and they obviously decided to leave rates on hold.
Yeah.
If I look at her commentary, like what stood out to me in the post meeting conference, some of the words that she said vigilant quite a lot. You know, that the board is vigilant, the board is alert. Data's been bumpy. They can't rule anything out. So there's not a lot of wiggle room in terms of upside surprise to their data. But those expecting, the market did go into the meeting thinking maybe they hike yesterday and they didn't. So you're getting that relief rally.
Do you know, we ought to do a morning call bingo card, shouldn't we? Which was published before these meetings, and see who can tick them all off. But inflation, that was revised up, wasn't it? And again, I think we were expecting that, weren't we? So from 3.3% to 3.8% by the middle of the year and sticking there for a while. Of course, we're seeing an end to energy subsidies. That's going to be a bit of a pressure on headline inflation if that happens in the budget next week. But we knew that inflation was going to be upgraded a little bit, didn't we?
Yeah, look, they did. They did upgrade their inflation forecast as would be expected given the upside surprise to the Q1 print. But it was only a bit of a mechanical increase in near-term inflation forecasts, and they still have inflation sort of back at 2.6% in the forecast horizon. So, yeah, you know, trimmed mean is yet 2.6 by mid 2026. So that hasn't changed. So I guess that's a bit of, you know, a bit of a surprise for the market. And you know, part of their ability to be able to keep that longer term inflation forecast unchanged was the the assumption of the higher cash rate path in the forecast profile.
And I guess softening consumption helps as well, and we saw a bit of that with retail sales for March revised down in the final print. So it's gone from -0.2 to -0.4% month on month. So this is the biggest drop since December, and of course, you know, a chunk of that fall in December we can blame on Black Friday sales in November. We haven't got that excuse this time. This is just softer retail sales. This is people spending less.
Yeah, so the Q1 retail sales print was out yesterday before the RBA announcement, and as you said, you know, on the quarterly print, it did was down 0.4%, which was in line with what NAB was forecasting. Nothing really new in these numbers outside of, you know, what we already got in the monthly prints and also the Q1 CPI report. But you know, it is the fifth quarterly decline in the past six quarters. You know, it was a soft print. Household goods led the decline and unwinding, as you said, what we saw in Q4. So, you know, weak overall. You know, what did I sort of NAB sees this as consistent with a flat to modest growth in overall consumption in Q1. But, you know, a soft consumer, and that is something that Michelle Bullock did talk about in the post meeting conference yesterday. You know, the growth in Australia is very subdued. So you know, yeah, they're cautious.
Particularly, I mean, these are volumes, aren't they? If you start to look at it on a per capita basis, then you know we've got seven successive months in a row that retail spending has per person has fallen. So you know, it definitely is softening, isn't it? But this hasn't changed NAB's expectations, any of this, has it? We're still saying that there's going to be a cut in November at the earliest. Is that still the story?
Yes. So NAB post the meeting yesterday hasn't changed their call for the RBA. They've still got penciled in the first rate cut to come in November. But you know, and that's based on our forecast profile of where we see inflation and the unemployment rate going. So you know, if that doesn't transpire, then obviously you know the outlook might change. And I think that's the same thing when you look at the RBA and their forecast profile and their commentary for the RBA. There's not a lot of wiggle room. So you know, they can't really, the forecast overall mean there's little ability to absorb additional upward inflation surprise if the economy remains resilient. So you know, we're watching the data. So you know, if the unemployment rate stays below 4%, if you know inflation does stay sticky and higher, then at best rate cuts are being pushed out into 2025, but that's not in NAB's forecast at the moment, and that's why we're looking for the RBA to deliver their first rate cut in November.
So maybe more green shoots coming from Europe. We get German industrial production today, but retail sales in the euro area from yesterday up 0.8% in March, which is better than expected, although there was a slight downward revision for February, so that from -0.3 to -0.5, so that accounts for some of it. But retail sales are up 0.7% year on year. This is all in volume time. So actually, volume terms, I should say. So actually, this is the fastest rise since September 2022. So it is bouncing back a bit. And then add to that, exports and imports, both up in France and Germany. Actually, German exports up 0.9% for the month, which is much higher than anticipated. And much of it is coming from demand from the US and China. So exports to the US up 3.6%. To China, up 3.7%. So there's some good news coming out of that part of the world, it seems.
Yeah, look, I think overall for the region as a whole, you know, the good news, as you said, that the Eurozone retail sales numbers were quite strong. But, I mean, interestingly, still mixed data, I think, coming out of Germany. Their factory orders that came out overnight were quite weak. They fell by 4%, so sort of quite a bit below market expectations. So yeah, the data continues to reflect a relatively weak German economy, whereas, as you're saying, overall the Eurozone area is doing okay.
Yeah, but the UK not doing so well. Maybe they should join the Eurozone. I wonder if they've ever thought about that. But if you look at those German exports, I talked about how they were up to the US and China. They saw a 3.8% fall in exports from Germany to Britain, which perhaps says more about the UK than Germany, because we also had the Retail Consortium's Retail Sales Monitor, which showed a 4.4% fall in retail sales in the UK year on year to April, from 3.2% the month before. It was expected to rise again, so a 4.4% fall is quite a big surprise. But on the other side, the construction PMI in April from 50.2 to a recent 53, which is actually the highest it's been since February last year. But, you know, we're a couple of days away from the Bank of England. No one is expecting, I think, any movement from them. I mean, we did have one of the nine voting to cut last time. But it seems like a weakening economy wins when it comes to getting rate cuts faster. So on that, well, you know, the UK seems to fit the bill.
Yes, definitely. And I mean, I guess that's where the difference, you know, you're seeing in, say, the UK and Europe versus the US and Australia, that divergence. You know, the data that's coming in the US and Australia, you know, pointing to later moves, not earlier. And you know, as we discussed in Australia, you know, you can't rule out the possibility of the RBA having to hike. They obviously talked about that in their meeting this week. Whereas quite different in the UK and Europe.
Well, Sweden, they've had
Canada,
four
quarters. I'd say.
And Canada, exactly, yeah. Well, Sweden's had four quarters in a row where GDP has shrunk, which is why some people are saying, well, maybe the Riksbank in Sweden will do a rate cut later on today from 4% down to 3.75%, which would be unusual for them to actually to cut before the ECB does. You know, why wouldn't they wait to the next ECB meeting and do it after that? But there's talk that that's what's going to happen today. In the US, well, what's going to happen there? We heard overnight from Neil Kashkari from the Minneapolis Fed. He talked, you know, as everyone has been, about keeping rates higher for an extended period. But he's also not dismissing the possibility of a rate hike. He said if inflation moves sideways and the labor market remains strong, then we won't do anything on rates. In other words, we'll keep them where they are. But I mean, if there's any change, I mean, they won't, you know, they'll still look at the possibility of a rate hike.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's a fair comment. I mean, it is worth noting he's not a voter this year. I think he said he put in the dot plot, he put in two cuts for this year. It's an uncertain backdrop, and you've just got to wait for the data to come in. And I think some of this forward guidance or commentary that you're getting from central banks is trying to manage expectations. So Powell did note last week about sort of anchoring consumer inflation expectations, and Michelle Bullock did talk about that as well. So that's important, you know, that they don't want, you know, consumers to recalibrate their inflation expectations and push that higher. So I think, you know, some of that commentary is just trying to anchor expectations.
Yeah, stay in and watch Netflix. That's what they're saying, isn't it? Don't spend any money, basically. Yeah, yes. Keep out of those shops. Well, let's see if people heed that advice and listen to central bankers. Of course, you know, that's front of mind, isn't it, when you go shopping? What are the central bankers telling us what to do? Good to talk. Anyway, Skye, we'll catch you again next time. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Phil.
And there we are. That's this Wednesday morning's edition of The Morning Call from NAB. I'm Phil Dobby. I'm back here again tomorrow. Would you believe it? I'll see you then. Thanks for listening in today.